Good evening, everybody. It is Friday, July 7th, 2017, and you are listening to Three Geeks in It. Hi, my name is Brian J. Cano.
And my name is Paul Bradford.
And I am Robert Buxar.
And the Senate is now in session. And I gotta say, the three of us have been bitten by a radioactive spider. All three of us. And Rob, you just got back from the theater, didn't you?
Yeah, I just walked in the door about 7 minutes ago from seeing it.
All right, so for all our listeners out there, this is your one and only warning. Spoiler alert, yeah. We are about to spoil the hell out of this. The next however long we talk is going to be our review of Spider-Man Homecoming.
Yeah. Listen to it if you want to know all about it and you don't care and it's not going to ruin your experience because you're going to know all about the movie if we get done. I'm pretty sure.
All right, before we go into the movie.
But
what I was going to say is before we get into the movie, let's have a really, really brief, quick chat about the trailers before. Because I don't know if this has been released or not, but obviously I saw the Black Panther trailer.
Yes.
I don't know if you guys saw that
It was a snippet. I would say that was smaller than a teaser. It was smaller than a teaser.
No. It was like a little mini trailer.
Yeah, it was a
trailer.
But
I'm gonna say it was really good for just a short period of time.
I got confused with it though. Is it based before we saw him in Civil War or afterwards?
It's a little bit of everything because the scene where you see him talking to was it Klaus or I'm just gonna call him Gollum because I don't know his character's name.
Right.
He's missing the arm.
Oh yeah, Andy Serkis.
So it's after Avengers 2.
Right, it has to be right. It has to be after the Age of Ultron.
Oh, but that was Hannibal. That was the character's name was Hannibal something. I can't remember. But yeah. So he's interrogating him to a degree, I think.
But he's being interrogated by Tim from The Office. I can't remember Bilbo Baggins. Martin Freeman, that was it.
Yes, there you go.
But the thing is, when I'm looking at the trailer, it like almost sort of came off a sort of futuristic. I mean, it appeared they had like this some spacecraft, and then they had these like weird laser things attached to somebody's wrists. And
I think that's just to demonstrate that Wakanda is so technologically advanced.
Yeah, that's what I was getting ready to say. It's very up. And you know he's actually the richest person.
This is not your grandfather's Africa. This is
right. They had the entire supply of the world's vibranium.
Right.
I mean that's what Cap's shield's made out of, and that's what they used to make Vision when he was created. So I mean, all of that. I mean, they are very wealthy, so they're going to have high top end tech.
Yeah, it just confused me more than anything else because I was like, wait, I thought, okay, maybe this is in the future, but then obviously it just threw me off completely. I mean, it does look very good, though.
Yeah, I was like, the music, I mean, I'm really a big fan of how they're using the music. I mean, the music was done, I think it kind of grabbed me with that and just a little bit of action and the pop, 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 you know, flash action scenes and stuff like that, but yeah, it was really good to see some footage of that finally.
Yeah. Well, speaking of music, I'm going to assume that everybody picked up on the original cartoon Spider-Man.
That was my high point that I was going to say. The Marvel Studios intro.
They started the movie with the Sony logo and like, oh no, where's the Marvel Studios logo?
It felt very weird.
And they didn't roll into
it
until later on. And thank God they went to it, but it was nice. It's like, okay, I'll bear through a Sony logo. Mm-hmm. Just give us what we need.
Right. But that's the thing. Yep. Is like, so when you roll into that, I was like, boy, Sony really wants you to know that this is their character. They're adamant about you knowing that they have Spider-Man's rights. And I mean, it was weird just to see the Columbia, the Columbia symbol. You don't see that at the beginning of a lot of movies anymore, I don't think.
It seemed to take a long time to just get into the Marvel, I don't even know what you would call it, but where it just keeps flicking through.
That's their banner. Their banner logo.
I mean, but it's been changed. It's been evolving. hasn't it? Yes. Let's face it, you know, yes. They've added a lot more to it. They've added quotes to it now. I've noticed there's some quotes coming on there. It seems to be getting longer and longer as we progress.
They're going to be hiding some Easter eggs in there eventually.
I think there are. Yeah. I think there are. If you look at it, there's these little quotes and little tidbits that are like, oh, wait, what's that? You know, and now obviously you miss it and, you know, you got to go pay and go back and wait or get a Blu-ray or whatever you got to do. But yeah. The Spider-Man theme I thought was fantastic, and they kept it to that same Marvel music.
Oh, that, and but the fact that like it literally followed, and I was like, man, they're really going to ride this song out for the whole thing, because I was sitting there singing along with it, like Spider-Man, and I was like, Spider-Man.
Well, you know what I loved about this, and I mean, this goes without saying, you know, so many people that I know are asking, oh, why are they rebooting it? What's going on? I said, no, this is not so much a reboot. We didn't get another origin story. We just dipped straight into the continuing adventures of Spider-Man. And I love that they nodded to Captain America Civil War. They took you from his view, which I loved. I was sitting there in the theater
now,
grinning my ass
off. Here's the thing, though. So, like, I posted something over on our page earlier in the week. And I think it was this week or maybe in the end of last week. It may have been a week ago. But Sony released something that said, PlayStation 4 exclusive, go onto PlayStation Store and you can download an exclusive video clip.
I remember that
movie shot by Peter Parker. I was like, cool. So I went on, I posted it on our thing, went over to it, watched it, and I was like, oh, it's a little movie made by Peter Parker, and it da 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 goes through it. Well, the movie starts and I'm like, holy shit, I saw the opening intro of the movie and I didn't know it. It was that whole, you know, opening scene all the way to the point to where he gets out of the limo. Is what they showed on the, and I was kind of a little bummed because they snuck in that whole we're trying to show you more. I was like, I thought that they made it as an independent thing, trying to just show a little interest, and it wasn't going to be anything. But you know, I don't like it when movies they try and show you all the movie before you go to the movie.
Right. When the trailer basically is just all the best bits, and that's it.
Yeah, I thought it was a little sneaky. Anyway, but it was still cool.
But the movie actually starts 8 years previous to Civil War, doesn't it? It actually starts just after the Tesseract, the first Avengers movie.
Right. Yeah, first Avengers movie.
It actually begins, right, which I guess that... So they've already given us some more timeline here, because what they've gone and done is said, okay, from the point that Parker actually got picked up...
Mm. Which that leads to the whole thing where they dipped into it, what was it, Iron Man 2? Where Peter, the kid comes, Iron Man 2, where the kid comes
see,
up the
didn't,
World
they
Fair.
They didn't address that in this movie.
Right.
It's been going around
but
the internet that it's quote-unquote confirmed fan theory, but it was kind of an irrelevant thing for this film.
Right, but I'm just saying it's just kind of the more that timeline, that linear timeline they're trying to show where it's been integrated in,
There's definitely some details that I like that, and again, I tried to stay away from seeing too many of the commercials or the trailers because I felt they showed too much, but I knew Vulture was the big bad. The thing that I loved, we're already hitting Sinister Six territory because I had no idea Shocker was going to be in it. I had no idea we'd get a look at Scorpion, little origin
there. I noticed
there.
That at the end. Yeah, I noticed that at the end when he leaned out his neck. Anyway,
I think Michael Keaton was a great choice because he has the he's always had this manic quality, even when he was Batman, Bruce Wayne.
God,
he's just his eyes.
You want to get nuts? Let's get nuts.
I was waiting for him to say that. But you notice, like,
I thought he was going to go off into it for a
Vulture
minute.
Vulture in the comics, he's got the most ridiculous outfit. It's like he's wearing this, like, he's like wearing a corn husk with a frilly white thing. And it's like, but they did it cool. He had a jacket that
well,
had
the,
that.
I like it was like aviation, the bomber. It was like the aviation bomber jacket, and then he had the mask, the aviator's respirator mask,
and even
and
Shocker
then the helmet came down over top of it.
Had the yellow sleeves with the kind of the cross
that's
pattern.
That's right. And the power.
See, that's the thing. I didn't know. I don't know all. And you all are gonna be much more. You know, I was a Spider-Man fan as a kid from, the 70s, 60s cartoon and stuff like that. And then the TV, live-action TV show, that was the Spider-Man and stuff like that that I got to know. And then I knew some of the comic books, but as far as, like, the depth of these characters, I knew who the villains were. I couldn't give you, like, who their name, their real-life name was. Yeah,
no,
and stuff like that.
No. No,
so
I'm
I didn't come
you.
Around
I'm,
to that
I'm,
until later.
I didn't really... I when even when I was sort of... watching the cartoons and reading some of the comics, I weren't I I wasn't particularly paying attention to you know, remembering names and stuff. I was just sort of following the stories and enjoying them as they were.
Right.
And even in this, it's just really cool just to start seeing these pieces come together. They did utilize a lot. I don't know. Did you ever see that? I remember in the trailer, there was a scene that you saw Spider-Man swinging around the corner and Iron Man with him.
That was not in the film.
That was not in the film. Neither was the scene where, the Vulture was in the Marriott Hotel.
Yep.
I was waiting for that too. Atlanta. Yeah, the one in Atlanta. I was waiting to see that one.
They definitely hit.
And it didn't show up.
They had a Rogue One moment where there was a lot of things I was waiting for that I didn't see, which. I don't know. I guess maybe it makes me feel better about watching trailers because, you know, you're not going to see those scenes.
It's almost like they're making the trailers not part of the movie. They're still bringing in the teasers and the, you know, getting
you excited.
Yeah,
they're trying to get you hyped for it, but they're not giving you all the movie.
Yeah.
And you know,
I'm appreciating.
All right, here's a bit of criticism, and I wonder if you guys... Mm-hmm. I mean, and again, I love the movie, so this is most of what I'll say will be glowing. But the one thing that I found as a critique, like, I might give the movie an A-. Maybe a B plus, and the reason is that because of the integration now with the Marvel, the MCU,
right?
And the sprinkling of Happy and Iron Man, it's almost like now I'm waiting. Okay, when's Iron Man gonna pop up? Oh, hey, there's Cap.
You can't have a pure
Spider-Man story anymore because there's so much of the other rest of the universe hedging for attention that I'm like, I know. For me, I was distracted by that. And that's my fault because I'm like, ooh, when's Iron Man going to pop up? Oh, I was waiting for that scene when they're flying together.
I loved it, but I think that
as compared to the other Spider-Man movies, you were able to spend more time with Spider-Man and not worry about the Avengers and everything else.
But it was all centered around the Avengers. I mean, that's what he was waiting on, that call. I think that also sort of gave you more character build up as well, because he was basically, the whole movie was about really him trying to figure out who he was, what his role in this was, whether he's, you know, the friendly neighborhood Spider-Man, or if he's going to be the Avenger Spider-Man, or, you know, how is he progressing?
For 43 years, I've had friendly neighborhood Spider-Man, not Iron Man in Spider-Man's suit. Because once he got that Stark suit and he's talking to it, and it's got a built-in thing almost like Jarvis. Mm-hmm. It's got, you know, he's letting the suit do most of the work.
Karen.
I said, this is just your friendly neighborhood Iron Man. And again, not that I didn't like it. I was just very aware of it, and I didn't want
That's
to be taken out of the movie that way.
I was just going to say,
I think this is the origin story. We're not going to get the origin of, you know, Uncle Ben and Aunt May and you know, him just, you know, discovering his powers. He already has the powers. He now needs to figure out how to use them. And obviously Stark has already been introduced as far as from Civil War, that he's brought him into this. So at this point, this is our origin story.
Well,
that's
Stark,
why you've got
Stark.
That,
is
yeah, Stark.
He has completely replaced Uncle Ben because no longer... With great power come great responsibility. It's now his, hey, if you're not enough without the suit, then you shouldn't have the suit.
Which I'm going to tell you
That's
right now, like
now.
Just where I am with the movie, and I'm on board with, you know, the first part of the movie, I really enjoyed it. Like you said, I really enjoyed the movie and how it started to unfold. And it's like, you know, you've got all these moments, but like Brian was saying, it's the movie was definitely broken up into I guess three acts. From what I can, you know, you've got your beginning where you kind of are following those continuing stories and event of him in the suit, in that suit, that the suit that definitely connects him to the Avengers and what that is. And it was fun and it was neat, you know, the whole Ferris Bueller scene where he's going through, you finally see him in a setting where you're always like, well, what happens if Spider-Man doesn't have anything to shoot webs at? Well, we find out he's running and he's like, this sucks. You know, he doesn't have anything to swing from when he's running through the streets and he's chasing after the van.
That was great because it was clumsy and he's destroying property and you're like, ooh.
Yep.
Oh, wow. Okay. He's not
slick
yet. Oh, yeah.
He falls into the shed.
But that's
what I'm saying, though. He's learning.
Like, that's
right,
cool.
I'm not taking anything away. I thoroughly enjoy that stuff, but it definitely felt like this is this is the suit, and he's got some powers inside of the suit, and the suit was all gadget. It was the James Bond Spider-Man, which is fine, but you didn't see Spider-Man really become Spider-Man. So then you have it where it transitions, and you start to find out, you know, about Peter. And, you know, he starts to kind of have his little, turmoil within inside himself. He gets himself into the prom, da-da-da-da, and then you have the part where it's him not in the suit, and it's just him being a kid. But then that doesn't last very long, and that kind of leads into, suddenly you have the redemption and the reveal, I guess, of him becoming Spider-Man. Like, when he puts his homemade suit back on, I was like, okay, this is the part that felt like it was missing for me, because you didn't have that transition from the homemade Spider-Man. You immediately went into a polished suit Spider-Man.
That was almost backwards, because usually the movie would start off with that Spider-Man. I made a note of it when I was sitting there thinking, I'm like, oh, wow, this is kind of cool that it's like he doesn't have the polished suit, so he goes back to what he started with.
And I think I enjoyed that part of the movie more than I did the polished suit Spider-Man. Him trying to figure out how to deal with it and work through it with the homemade gear and, you know, put up the bat. But then, you know, you have the hero moment where he stands up and, you know, he already had the one before where he's with the Staten Island Ferry.
Yeah, Staten Island.
Woo, Staten Island! But where he stands up after the vulture knocked down all the columns and it lands on top of him, and you see him. He's like, somebody help me, somebody help me. And then he sees himself split with the mask, and he sees himself and he sees the mask. It's kind of almost like that.
Such a classic John Romita Jr. image. It's so like
the
70s and 80s Spider-Man image.
But then
happened in Spider-Man 1, like with Tobey Maguire.
It did. Well, I mean, he had a lot of those moments. But I'm talking about it was just the moment where you see him stop crying and he becomes. And he finally reaches in, and he becomes Spider-Man without the suit.
It was good to see him freak out like that, because again, you know, you don't see the humanity of these heroes once they become. And this one, it's like, he's still at what 16, 15, 16?
15. No, he was 15.
He's
because
a kid.
He called him 14, or he said, "You're 14 years old," and he goes, "No, I'm 15." Or I think that's what it was.
He was.
So he's what, a junior, a sophomore?
Yeah,
he was a sophomore.
Yep, sophomore. And he was dating a senior.
So he's, and that was the thing. But I mean, that's all I want to say. You know, about that. Like, I really felt like
the only real critique that I had watching it was there were times where I was like, "That's obvious CGI." I mean, it's just it looks almost cartoon.
Yeah,
you know, when he was running
and you could tell
the
transition. You could see the scene where they used to transition from the CG to the real life.
Yeah, that was the only thing. That was the only gripe I really had. And even then, I'm like, "But screw it, this is fun." You know, and I think that's the thing. There's a lot more humor.
Now, did you guys see it in IMAX?
I did not. I saw it on the Cinemark XD, the 3D screen, but I didn't see it in the IMAX.
Okay, I saw it in regular. I saw it in regular old print. I didn't pay extra for Jack. So I didn't see that as much. I wasn't really aware of too much CGI overbearingness. So maybe better qualities, it pops out more.
Unfortunately with me, my eye, and I don't even try, but it's just something that my brain always does. I can discern human movement and polished CG movement. Not all the time, but it's good at picking up on when movements change from human to a really good CG.
Right.
It's almost like it's too fluid.
Speaking of picking things up, there's something I totally didn't like. You'd think after all these years of watching movies and seeing plot twists come out of left field, how did I not see that Vulture was going to be that chick's dad?
God damn, you are right about that. It was like I was completely shocked. I was like, what?
Like when he answered the door, it was like Pacific Heights. I was like, oh shit! Oh no! Get out of there, Peter! Well, get out!
You don't expect the mixed family. And I mean, I'll just be honest. I mean, you look at her and you don't think that she is. And I'm guessing, I mean, it's just one of those things.
But it's so obvious because I think it really played on his family. And she never had parental figures around. And then all of a sudden it's like, oh, of course.
Right. Yeah, but it's the thing. It's like it played on our stereotypes. Yeah, it's just movie stuff.
And like you say, you know, It was obvious, really, when you think about it.
Yeah.
But it got me because initially when he opened the door, I thought, oh, shit, he's figured out who he is.
Right.
And I was expecting to see
like the family actually sort of like tied up somewhere, and I didn't see that. I was like, wait,
but I didn't go that. I didn't go that far. Like as soon as he opened the door, I was like, oh yeah, okay.
No, I thought he was maybe he'd figured out because I knew that he would figure out because I've seen the trailer.
Right.
You're right. So I knew that he was going to figure out who he was, Peter Parker. So, and that's another spoiler. Obviously, Peter Parker is Spider-Man.
Whoa, wait. Peter Parker is Spider-Man?
They didn't show that in the post-credits.
I didn't get that at all.
No, well, we've given people spoiler alerts. We've given people spoiler alerts.
I want my money back.
I don't like it. Tough.
But I need my money back.
Dude, that car scene.
Really? That was such a good movie. Shut up.
I was, and again, because I was so invested in Spider-Man, is arguably one of my favorite superheroes because he's the everyman. That scene in the car where he's getting grilled while he's on a date, and you're like, oh shit, he's figuring it out. Oh shit, Batman's putting it together. Here it comes.
Yeah.
As soon as he asked him about the elevator. And he was like, I wasn't in the elevator. You could just see the click. Because he had it pretty much figured out up to that point.
I can't be Spider-Man. Me and Spider-Man are never in the same place at the same time.
Right. Yeah. What do you mean? Wait a minute. But, yeah. So, I mean, the movie itself, like I said, just the him finding out the suit and him. Now they had some great, great moments where he climbs in the window after his backpack got stolen and his best friend sees him. And, that's been in the commercials and stuff like that. But. Yeah. I think it did well as the growth of the characters together.
Rob, you read the Ultimate Comics, right? Like the Ultimate Universe in print.
I didn't pick up Spider-Man until right after the Ultimate stuff ended.
Because I want to know if this interpretation follows a new thing. Because there's some things that kind of threw me, and I'm not saying it's in a good or bad way, but Ned. Great addition. I thought he was an excellent sidekick character. He was a huge comic relief.
I wasn't expecting the Flash switch up.
The Flash
that seemed weird. He's supposed to be Flash some big jock.
Was reverse whitewash.
I think he's more of a cyber bully.
Was reverse whitewash. And again, I have no stance on this other than like, hey, when Doctor Strange, when the Ancient was cast as a white woman, Asian community was like, hey, that's wrong. And I'm thinking, all right, now you're taking Flash and MJ. And throughout the entire movie, I'm like, this chick better not be MJ. What's her name? We haven't heard her name yet.
Right.
She better not be MJ. And lo and behold.
Mm. Yep. Well,
but
it's still not
Mary Jane.
It's not Mary Jane because she goes by Michelle.
Yeah.
But that's her name is Michelle, and then she's like, "Well, then my friends call me MJ," and I was like,
"Yeah, it's like, no.
But it might okay. not be. I mean,
there's
that's
no
fine.
Play,
I mean,
there's no
play,
MJ.
I mean, see, here's the thing: is like, I'm not dead set on a physical representation. I get it because of she was in the comic book. She's always the red haired, girl. Yep. Just like Gwen Stacy was always the blonde haired girl.
Yeah,
that's just the way that it was." But, it's like, I don't know how they're going to play this out. I'm a fan of, as long as you have it on the screen and it's done well, and do the character justice, then
but it's a different character
now,
then, because Mary Jane was the popular girl, almost cheerleaderish, like she was dating a jock, whereas now both jock and MJ are on the geek squad with Peter. Like, what?
Right, but again, this girl's name is Michelle, it's not Mary Jane. So it's like, unless we find out later...
That's why I asked about the print universe. Like maybe these characters exist in a different way.
I was thinking Donald Glover was going to tie to Miles Morales because that was a big fan favorite for people. Because he did the voice of Spider-Man on the animated cartoon.
Oh, did he?
And people were petitioning for him to be Miles Morales.
Wow.
Spider-Man or then Miles Morales after they cast Peter Parker. So to see him in the movie, I was like, is he going to be a forthcoming Miles Morales? But then they said he's in his mid-30s and Miles Morales is young also. So
unfortunately, the only thing I was thinking of when he was on screen was, hey, aren't you supposed to be Lando in the Han Solo movie? Get back to work.
Right.
What are you doing? Is this your day off from set? Go. Wait.
Oh, he's getting that Disney paycheck, yo.
Oh, yeah.
he's making all that money.
He's about to get paid.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, he's being paid. Don't worry about that. But he was in Community, right?
Yeah. Yes. Oh, yeah, he was.
With the Indian guy. I can't remember his name. Mm-hmm. But he was in S.H.I.E.L.D.
I cannot remember his name yet. I'm totally screwed up. But he was recently in powerless.
Yes.
Was he really?
Yeah.
Okay.
The Indian guy.
But I mean, but the thing is, they're both in the Marvel now because he was in
Shield. Yeah, you're right. He was the he was on the helicarrier.
Yeah,
in,
he was
in Captain America too.
Yeah. Yes. So he was one of the ones that didn't turn to Hydra.
Which, by the way, I did enjoy the sprinkling of Captain America via video throughout the thing. Just kind of always there as the I guess the honorable one trying to lead him on the right path. Was,
Hannibal Buress said, "Isn't he a war criminal now?" I think he's a war criminal now, but whatever. Just watch the video.
But that was early Captain America, wasn't it? Because that was like Captain America one.
Yeah, that's not even Winter Soldier Captain America.
No, it was the Avengers. First Avengers. It was Avengers because Coulson created that suit.
No, wait a minute. So all right, never mind.
Well, the minute they thawed him out,
because we never saw him live. We never saw him live. Those were all videos.
They put him in front of a camera and said, "All right, Cap, do your thing. 1940s, good old clean Boy Scout, do it."
Right.
Because he was basically he just wore like a military jacket. Didn't he in the first Avenger? You know, the first Captain America movie.
Yeah,
he had his hat and all that. His World War II costume. Then when Coulson was on the plane taking him to the helicarrier, he said, you know, he had a hand in designing the new costume, and was the costume he was wearing.
Let's jump to the end of the movie, to the post scene with Captain America. Now, do you think that they didn't give us a plot driven one because it's Sony and they very well may or may not, like, they can't build the world?
You know what? I think they avoided giving us any Infinity Wars.
Yeah, I think that's what they were going to be in.
That's the next thing he's going to be in. And I think right now they're keeping as much of that under wraps as possible.
Is Spidey confirmed for Infinity War?
Yes.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah, he's absolutely. And they're confirmed for another standalone Spider-Man movie as well.
Yep.
But here's the thing I was confused with. Okay, so going back to the Sony Marvel split. So you have now Tom Hardy, who's been cast as Eddie Brock, Venom. Venom standalone movie, which is going to be a Sony thing, but it's still so. Shortly before the movie came out, Sony piped up and said it's absolutely connected to the Marvel universe. And then Kevin Feige came out a couple days later after it blew up on the internet and went, "Stop trying to jump in and interject things into our universe that we haven't sanctioned." So even though they fought to get Spider-Man, they are now taking the reins and going, Sony, we need to pump the brakes a little bit. Quit trying to throw everybody into it.
Yeah, so his face now became a meme. It replaced the sad Affleck that week when it first happened.
So that was the thing with me. So I was confused. So not really confused, but so following how that goes. So now you have that, which is going to be a Sony movie. But they're but Kevin Feige also saying never say never. He actually made a comment in there. He goes, and then one day somebody's talking about putting Superman in the Avengers movie. And he goes, "I'm not going to say it's never going to happen. Oh, never say never." And I was like, Sean Connery did that too. And he ended up playing James Bond in the non-official James Bond movie. But we're not going to get into that. So that was never say never again, by the way, that I was referring to. But but the thing is with that is, so you have now this standalone movie. But now you're also introducing the Sinister Six characters in the MCU. So where is that line drawn now? You definitely have the beginnings of the Sinister Six in the MCU.
Yeah, but that's the thing. When Sony has the license to Spidey, that's almost like the Spider-Verse. So his villains, those characters also go along with it. Just like X-Men, all the mutants, all those characters kind of go along with.
But not completely. They had to get so many special wishings from. It was a special granting to get Spider-Man. It was Spider-Man and then I guess the couple of characters that they licensed out to them. There isn't a full handshake going on with the entire universe like we would want. So,
well, the thing is though, from what I understand, Tom Holland?
Which one are we talking about? Spider-Man?
Spider-Man.
Holland.
Yeah, Tom Holland.
Tom Holland, he did an interview recently and I guess that question did come up. Is he going to be part of the Venom and all this stuff, and he flat out said no.
Yeah, no.
They're also saying he's not going to directly be involved with that movie, but it is the same universe. It is the same. So it's like a fine line. So they're saying that it's not impossible to have Tom Holland's Spider-Man come in
those
movies, but it's going
to
be after the Marvel.
Is part of the same thing. It's not right. Completely impossible, which Sonya made the comment is that it would be great to have Spider-Man and Deadpool in a movie together because of the back and forth thing would be so
dude, that right
funny.
In the comic books, that's still going on. That was a really huge run about the middle of last year. They did a Spider-Man versus Deadpool, and it blew up. I think it was last year. But, I mean, it's still a big thing. Their banter back and forth is, like, something that is just one of the most sought-after things in Marvel as far as when you put them
in
together in a comic book.
To other characters in movies, since we're going Spidey Deadpool, let's compare and contrast this Spidey movie to the other ones. Let's talk about villains.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Michael Keaton as the Vulture. I never thought the Vulture would have been a viable big bad, but I dug him. I thought they did a great job.
I love the way they're doing this stuff. I love the way they do this stuff now because, and I think this is the other thing that we need to take into account is that, you know, a lot of these superheroes had mystical powers almost. That, you know, the things that they could do, you know, you've got to think, okay, he gets bit by a radioactive spider, but the shit that he can actually do is a bit beyond what you'd expect. So they've started introducing like a sort of modern day versions of this stuff.
Yeah.
Like, so the suit, and that's where the suit really came in from
activating
my point of
view. Kill mode. No,
well,
no, don't activate kill mode.
Yeah. You know, there's a lot of things, and that's why I think the suit was important in this movie. And bearing in mind, he already had the suit when he was introduced. He was introduced in Civil War. He had the suit, so I got that. The transition, you saying, you know, it felt kind of backwards having him go back to the original. He already, you know, it was, I think, more continuity than anything else. And we didn't want an origin story, so they're not going to do pre-Civil War.
Pre-powers.
The only thing you got was him being picked up by Happy, taken to a hotel, shown the suit, and all this stuff. I thought that was fantastic. I loved all that extra stuff.
But it also shows that we can get a superhero movie, and especially one that's been done so many times, and you can forfeit the origin story.
You don't need
and everybody gets it. Everybody gets it.
Yes.
And you pick it up with the character.
He has the hot aunt and all this stuff. Mm-hmm. I mean, whatever. And I thought that was funny as well.
And
know.
Because of the MCU and the grand tapestry we have now, it allowed the villain to rely on that. Just the fact that we had a small scene, put on the backdrop of Avengers 1 to say this is why he has all the stuff he has. It's not like he's a genius and he makes this in his garage. No, he stole alien tech and over 8 years,
made it work. It took him to do this. Yeah,
but that's the thing. So you look at most of the villains in Spider-Man's universe; they are not really
mutant
power. Well, no. I mean, until you start to get to Venom and Carnage, but those are symbiotes.
You look at
the Green Goblin. You know, we're all going to see that eventually. You have Rhino.
Tech.
Rhino was what, a suit, or was
that's
that?
A big
yeah,
guy
we've already
in
had
costume.
Him. No, we already had him. He was already
well,
in
they
Amazing
tried
Spider-Man
to, they,
2.
They tried to do that with Paul Giamatti, which was just horrible.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Yeah.
That was just absolutely terrible casting.
Yeah, well, I'm trying because again, y'all, I'm gonna have to rely on you all for this for a lot of the comic book stuff, but I can't. Not a lot of it, but. Was it a suit? Because I mean, you had so.
I think
he was a guy in a suit. It was a suit, and the only thing you really saw out of it was the man's face. But this is also kind of kitschy, corny.
Right.
It was very corny.
Yeah.
The Green Goblin, though, that wasn't
Green Goblin.
He was a Green Goblin.
He was turned. It wasn't a helmet. Yeah. He was actually physically turned.
No, that's
and they
a
didn't
mask.
Use the helmet. They didn't turn the. Oh,
no,
was
no,
it
in
a
the,
mask?
In the movie, no, in the movie it was a mask, wasn't it?
I know
no,
the movie.
In the comics, it was
in the comic books,
like a rubber mask.
Was it?
Okay.
Maybe
I thought,
Hobgoblin
I thought
might have turned.
I thought he was altered physically.
They also
there
they
was
had,
also Hobgoblin as well.
They
right.
Had difference depending on which one you went to, but
one.
It was always a mask that could be pulled off.
Okay.
Right.
All right. Well, because I knew they went to the helmet when Sam Raimi did it with the Tobey Maguire Spider-Man. But I mean, just bringing it back to that. I mean, tying
that's
this,
Willem Dafoe.
Watching that again the other day on cable.
Go ahead.
It was weird to see because, and I think that's one thing that always irked me. Like, yeah, I know we have to have the Green Goblin, and he's not going to have a rubber mask, but this is something he was making for U.S. troops, and there was just going to be thousands of Green Goblin masks. Like, whoa, it's garish.
No, he didn't make the mask for that. The mask was something else.
That was all
he
for
had,
him. That was the helmet for the hover glider.
No, it wasn't. There was he built the glider for the military and maybe a suit. But it the was mask the super came from something else he was collecting, because he had a bunch of these different masks all over his house. And it was sitting on a display. That. It was sitting in a display talking to him.
Well, that that was when he was going crazy. That was after he already. But that's he took the serum and he was going insane.
But he wasn't the Green Goblin at that point. It wasn't until he put that mask on.
When the Green Goblin flew into that kind of parade celebration they had, the rest of Oscorp was like, hey, that looks like our glider in suit. So they recognized it. I'm thinking the helmet
was something that he had built as a helmet for that suit. I'm pretty sure that that's what it was for.
I think it's something else. I think the mask was something else. We'll have to revisit this and come back to it. Because the suit in that wouldn't have been green, I don't think, if he was making it military. Not that sort of green. Like you say, that would have looked stupid.
Let's look at a rogues gallery of the cinematic villains. Like, let's put them next to each other. All right. How does Vulture rate against Willem Dafoe's Green Goblin?
I think he was better, Sandman, personally.
Sandman is at the bottom. I'm going to say Sandman was pretty decent. Actually, I'm going to put Sandman over top of Venom.
Yes.
Venom sucked. I think Venom was probably the worst.
Venom was probably the bottom. Topher Grace as Eddie Brock was a bad choice.
I mean, Rhino was probably the worst.
I forgot about those movies. No, and Electro.
Jamie Foxx.
Good damn. Okay, let's try to do Rhino.
Rhino would be the bottom. Rhino was just the worst of them all.
And then Electro.
Then Jamie Foxx. Yeah.
Then Venom.
No, just Jamie Foxx, not Electro. Just Jamie Foxx. I'm kidding. I like Jamie Foxx.
Then Venom.
Yep. I'm on board with you so far. Sandman.
Sandman.
Yep. I'm on board.
Who else?
Yeah, I'm not familiar with the Garfield movies too much.
You had the lizard. Yeah, well, I think the Lizard King was better than the Green Goblin.
No.
I think Green Goblin, the Lizard King, and then Doc Ock was probably my favorite.
Otto Octavius was my top.
But because, I think Vulture was better than him, only from the fact that, as far as the Vulture... No, I think Doc Ock was good, but it was still campy. I mean, it was still because that was what that movie was.
But that's a Raimi movie. So they're all campy.
That was the fun part of it. No, but as far as the grit goes and the depth, Vulture's definitely up there. But I mean,
Vulture's another, they're always somewhat, the good villains are somewhat relatable in that he's trying to take care of his family. And Doc Ock started out good, but was twisted and warped by the machinery, and he was able to fight almost like a Darth Vader story at the end. He fought the tech to sacrifice himself at the end, which is why I loved Doc Ock in the movies.
Yeah, but here's the one
thing. But they killed him.
That's the thing I was getting ready to say. He sacrificed himself.
Here's the problem with all of the other movies, and the difference between the other movies previous to this and the MCU. In the MCU, people survive because the MCU isn't going to be a one alone, you die, let's move on. So we're going to have more time with Michael Keaton's Vulture. And more time to... So he's got time to grow as a character.
Yep.
What Doc Ock and, Willem Dafoe's Osborn, they were a one-movie thing. But right. I think as far as Doc Ock, like, being an entire movie, I think he was the most formidable one up until Vulture, because I think Willem Dafoe was a very menacing individual. But the Green Goblin was a little bit lacking.
Exactly. He was comedic. It was almost comical. It was too campy.
It was almost the Joker move. They almost wanted to make him the Joker to Spider-Man's Batman. He brought him up to the roof. He's like, join me, Spider-Man.
Wait a minute. I forgot about, and I don't know that he's really considered a villain, but oh my God. Who was it? His son, Harry Osborn, when he went Hobgoblin.
Second Green Goblin.
He went Green Goblin. He never went
was
Hobgoblin.
It Green? Oh, I thought it was Hobgoblin.
In the comics, Norman Osborn preceded Harry Osborn.
But he kind of went half and half in Spider-Man 3, so I don't know how where he fits. Yeah. He wasn't really a villain, and he wasn't really a good guy.
He did go villain in two, though, didn't he? He was the Green Goblin in Spider-Man 2.
Harry was never the villain. He was just trying to get revenge on Spider-Man. He wasn't a bad guy because he was doing crimes. He just wanted revenge against the person
who killed
his father.
No, but he started hearing his dad's voice. He started hearing...
Well, that doesn't make him a villain. It just makes him a little messed up.
Right.
Yeah, but then he threw the bomb. He started throwing the bomb, and when he found out it was Peter, he was still going after him.
Well, because he was so hell bent on getting the man that killed his father.
Yeah, he's getting
his father away. The bad guy.
Right.
And he didn't care.
So he did go bad, but then he also came back around as a good guy to help him when he was fighting against Venom and Sandman.
Yeah.
So he kind of redeemed himself.
No,
well, see, that's
he
the
didn't
thing.
Redeem himself. You could say the same about the fact Doc Ock. Did Doc Ock actually redeem himself?
Did you say Doc Ock? Did you say Doc Ock?
Yes.
Doc Ock did redeem himself because he sacrificed himself to save all the people that his actions caused. Whereas Harry Osborn was just like, hey, the girl I like is in trouble. Yeah, all right, you guys are my friends. Let's join the fight.
Yeah, he manipulated Mary Jane. He, you know, like, so she ended up, you know, dumping Peter Parker, and he ruined Peter's life. That's what he was trying to do, is ruin. He's like, he turned into a bad guy.
But see, now this is where we, we are very much diving, you know, deep into this movie as far as how these all integrate and stuff like that. But I mean, it's the thing, is like, how, I don't know. I mean, how do we gauge this when we're just now getting a character who's obviously going to have more screen time versus one that had standalone screen time?
Well, you mentioned that, and on the ferry, when that whole arms deal was going down, you noticed Michael Mando's character. Michael Mando, a lot of people recognize from Better Call Saul. And I'm like, hey, that's kind of an actor that we know. I wonder why he's just playing henchmen. Oh, Scorpion Tattoo. Okay.
Yeah.
Which I didn't get until the end credit sequence.
Right.
Yeah, because it was, so yeah, a lot of people leaned out, he turned his head and you see the scorpion on the neck, and I was like, oh, I get it now.
Yeah, because
but it was also, what is the benefit of him not giving up Parker? You know, I guess maybe because he's honoring the fact that Parker kind of saved his life.
Yeah.
So he's kind of doing that.
He's just holding out. He's waiting. Yeah.
I think he wants to get his own revenge, so if someone else does it while he's
inside. Yeah, exactly. But this is the team. It's very reminiscent of when Tony first approached the general about, you know, I have a team. You know, suddenly it's now the bad guys. I have a team outside. We're making a team. Okay, cool. We're going to start getting some Sinister Six movies. And,
they did try
to do that with the Andrew Garfield Spider-Man. That's where they were going next.
And they tanked Amazing Spider-Man 2 so bad.
Yeah, it just completely killed any chance of them creating that, because that's what they were going. They were trying to create a Sinister Six universe. They were really hell bent on that.
I remember, but
I don't know. I mean, I guess they just want to make that villain universe for whatever reason. I mean, I'm all for villains. I'm a villain fan.
Without a good villain,
you can't have a hero.
No.
So,
but Suicide Squad was. I mean, it wasn't horrible. It wasn't good.
Why do you bring that in? We're talking about good movies.
But yeah, oh, granted. But we have to also mention the fact that, you know, there was a whole movie just about bad guys.
But that's the thing. But they did it poorly. It was horrible. That was basically, they took two movies with that and they fused it into one. They took David Ayer's Suicide Squad, which was supposed to be a really gritty. They actually had a company that makes trailers. They're the company that made the trailer that everybody loved. The trailer that they put up, and everybody's like, yes, this is going to be great. That company, they had take all of his stuff, and they did reshoots, and they re-edited the movie. You had a trailer company making part of that movie. And then they slammed it together with the other movie, and they were like, yeah, it's going to be great.
When they did it.
And then you know what they did? The fucking Academy Awards gave him a goddamn award for makeup. So now you have a movie that was shit.
For makeup?
Yeah, they got an award, an Academy Award for makeup this past year. So now you have Suicide Squad is now an Academy Award winning movie.
That's
awful.
That's a horrible thought. It is. And that was one of the things I tweeted out while I was watching it. I was like, this is the last thing we need. Validation for Suicide Squad. And I got a couple retweets on that. You know, the three people that might actually see it in the world. But wow. You know, that's the thing. It's like, but it was just, I don't understand. I can't fathom. Anyway, I don't want to go too far off on that. That's for another conversation, another day. But
all right. So I mean, as far as I'm concerned, like the Tom Holland is now literally, he's now my favorite Spider-Man.
He did such a great job, and I mean, mm-hmm. I loved him great. Just from that half hour cameo in Civil War. I was like, yeah, sure. we've got Spidey. Spidey's back.
Yeah.
Now, and obviously, you two disagree with me on the Tobey Andrew Garfield thing. But I'm gonna go. Andrew Garfield is a better Spider-Man than Tobey Maguire.
Again, I'm firing you. Get out.
See, for me, it's switched. So for me, it's Holland. And again, because Tobey was my first Spider-Man, mm-hmm. he will always hold a special place.
Yeah.
So it's Holland barely in the lead. Tobey Maguire close second. Andrew, who? I didn't think he did a bad job, but those movies were so forgettable for me.
I think. Okay. See, that's the thing. I saw the
what
first
about this,
one.
Though?
Go ahead.
What about Tobey Maguire was a pretty good Peter Parker.
Mm-hmm.
But Andrew Garfield was a better Spider-Man.
He was more physically fit for it, yeah.
He was leaner and taller, so he had that.
But as a Spider-Man, as the comedic element.
That's what I was getting ready to say. Tobey Maguire didn't have the chops. He did not have the smack-talking chops that Spider-Man needs.
Right.
I think he had the physique he did for the first one, but he had the ability to play a good nerdy kid that, you know, his timeline graduating high school.
Well, that's why in Civil War, when we had that kind of wisecracking, you know, Spider-Man mm-hmm. back, he's fighting
that
and he's
so
like, oh,
fantastic.
Hey, you've got a metal arm. You're like, oh, shit, that's right. This is Spider-Man. This is what he's supposed to be.
Yep, yeah. He's the wisecracker. And that's the thing. Now, I will give you that. Andrew Garfield, when I watched the first The Amazing Spider-Man, I did enjoy him as Spider-Man. He was a lanky, lean Spider-Man. He was this fast-talking, you know, quip-loaded, Spider-Man. He was he mouthed off the way Spider-Man was supposed to.
Yes.
But I didn't think he sold the package well enough. I do like him as Spider-Man. But I'm definitely going to go Tom Holland, like with Brian. I'm going to go he's in the lead because he's the whole package. He did a great Peter Parker.
Not to mention
he did a great Spider-Man.
He also hasn't had time to make a Spider-Man 3 yet, so, you know, time will tell.
So I'm going to go Tobey Maguire, definitely a close second, then I'm going to go Andrew Garfield. It's also because Spider-Man 2, of all the movies, Spider-Man 2 up until this one is still up there. I mean, it's tops for me.
Yeah.
And I think that this one's very close. I mean, it's great, but there's still some aspects of Spider-Man 2 that I really, really enjoy. I think I'm going to have to see it at least 2 to 10 more times
decision. What do we think of like all the other elements in it? I mean, we had his pack of smart kids that he was constantly letting down. We had this new mm-hmm. love interest, which was neither Gwen mm-hmm. Stacy nor MJ, which mm-hmm. kind of threw a curveball at things. We had the guy from Silicon Valley, the Satanist from Silicon Valley.
Teacher. I cannot remember, but he was also on Freaks and Geeks.
Okay, he was good.
But that's the thing. I cannot remember his name for the life of me right now. But I did. I enjoyed seeing him on there because Silicon Valley. I've got to thoroughly enjoy that show.
Constant check-ins with Happy. Hang-ups. He tries to call him, and he's like, I'll leave you alone.
But then you had the suit that, you know, really really helped him out. You know, he had that had more. He had a dialogue there. He could talk with somebody
and
learn with.
I literally just found this out when I was looking for Better Call Saul guy's name on IMDb. Jennifer Connelly was the voice of Karen. Connelly married to Paul Bettany.
Okay. Huh. So
Vision.
Yeah, which is Vision. Yeah. So let's see. She was also Betty in the Hulk movie.
Oh, and why was Betty Brant there? I thought Betty Brant was an Incredible Hulk character.
She is.
Right. Wait a minute.
What is she doing in high school with Peter Parker?
It's not Betty Brant. It's Betty the general's. It's not Grant. It's the general's daughter. We've already met her because it was in the Edward Norton storyline.
Well, Betty
she was
Brandt
at the cafe.
Works at the she eventually works at the Bugle. She's played right. by Elizabeth Banks in the Raimi movies.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
But I could have sworn.
Let's see.
Something I did enjoy, and I was like, "Oh, fantastic! Pepper Potts came back."
Yes.
Yes. Yep.
Oh, and it's and
seeing
it's
her pop
still
back
together,
up in there.
I thought they broke up.
They did.
I felt really shitty. I was so sad.
General Ross is the general that
you're thinking
of.
Thank you, Betty Ross.
Betty Ross. Betsy Ross.
Yeah,
Betty Ross.
But that was well.
The banner.
She was the Jennifer Connelly was the one in the Eric Bana.
Yes.
Incredible Hulk movie, the one that was done by Ang Lee, which is just
we don't talk about that one.
We don't talk about that.
The movie we didn't
talk about. That's Superman 4 and the Quest for Peace.
There was no Superman 4. The franchise ended at 2.
There was a Superman 4?
Yeah, it was
no,
the
there
Quest
wasn't.
For Peace.
You drank too much.
Yeah,
is that the
right.
one with
sorry.
The bad?
We don't...
Robert, you were drinking too much that night. You imagined the
yeah,
whole thing.
Yeah, you're right. I'm sorry. I don't know what happened. I'm delusional. I had
it's like
LSD.
Highlander 2. It doesn't
yeah.
exist.
It's almost 2 in the morning. Yes. So that's
oh,
that's
my goodness.
It is.
It is, isn't it?
I know.
Yeah.
I know. It
yeah.
really is.
You know, I still have to finish packing.
Yeah, me too. I've got to be at work in the morning as well. So
anyway. Yeah, me too. Anyway.
Yeah.
But, all right.
Anyway,
let's streamline through the movie real quick. So let's kind of go back to it. So what were some kind of your favorite little – all right, give like 3 favorite scenes.
Ooh.
3 favorite scenes.
They all went by so quickly. I was like, whoa, this is cool.
Well, yeah. Happy being in the bathroom and it being awkward.
Uh-huh.
I thought that was fun.
God, that was magical.
That was very funny.
That was magical. I was losing yeah. I think I was the only one in the theater laughing out loud. I snorted. And I was just like... it was just funny. Anyway, go ahead.
Oh jeez, what else?
This isn't gonna be bonding. This is just
no, of
a,
course not.
This is just a rapid
fire
top 3.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's tough.
My gosh,
there was so many moments in the movie.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's the whole him running. I thought that was brilliant with the
yep.
with the this sucks. Was running
yep,
through
yep.
the golf course.
I really
course.
Enjoyed
I thought,
that.
Oh, I loved when
that
he was running across the lawn. He's like, "Oh, it smells good." I was like, "Oh, that's like yeah. Ferris." And I didn't even get the name out until you saw it in the next
yep.
shot.
I was so glad that they actually kind of threw that in there. I was like, oh,
yep.
that's just so good. Because there's going to be kids,
you know, hey,
there's going to be a
movie.
Lot of people that aren't going to get that, and then there are going to be people that were going to get that. And even still seeing it, they still didn't get it.
Yeah.
Oh, Aunt May at the very end.
Yes!
Yeah. Peter, what the fuck?
What the fuck?
Yeah. All right.
Because
right.
what was brilliant, it was the build-up to that as well. Because you start down, like he pans down from his feet. He's just got the suit back, and it's like up the up to his knees, and then he spins around, and then he takes the mask off. It's all mm-hmm. very sort of hero moment. It's about to end, and what the fuck?
Yeah,
he's gonna get grounded.
But just the fact that so, I mean, you see that go through the movie. Like even what is it? The man in the chair, the kid, the sidekick.
Yeah,
Ned.
Ned, okay, so I'm really bad with names. So I'm glad y'all are pulling those out. But just seeing how he kind of progressed,
mm-hmm.
and he had his superhero moment where he gets the web slinger after it's knocked off
yes.
Peter, and he saves the day before he goes to the computer lab. And then the teacher walks in, and she goes, "What are you doing in here?" And he goes,
"Oh, yeah.
Watching porn."
Porn?
But yeah. I mean, it was good to see, good for him to have a confidant,
yeah.
Somebody
and
that was assigned that wasn't an adult, that wasn't an Avenger,
no.
that wasn't. It was in his little isolated
well,
universe.
Speaking
somebody
of,
that's going to continue
of that,
to be there.
His character was increased comic relief because he's constantly like, "Oh, did you meet the Hulk? Did you meet Thor?"
Right.
Like, he's constantly interviewing him about his
yeah.
Avengers experience.
But then when the,
can
but
you
then
lay
when
eggs?
They're in, when
can,
they're in, when,
can we tell everybody?
Yeah, that was a great.
Can
one.
We tell everybody?
Yeah, but when he was in the gym, he goes, "Peter knows Spider-Man." He's like, "What?"
Can you summon spiders?
Yeah.
Do you lay eggs?
But his question, his questions, you got to think about. This is a universe where Spider-Man has never existed,
right.
So. Like for us, I mean, we know him because of comics, but for him, that's there was no comics. Spider-Man exists right then. So you're going to have those type of questions.
But it's great that he's got a friend that is so enthused about it. It's not like, "Oh,
right.
you're a freak." It's like, oh, dude, this is the coolest thing, and my life is better now because of your superpowers.
Yes.
Right.
Thank
exactly.
you for allowing me to be a part of this.
Yeah, and it, so I think yeah. I think that was a good thing to definitely give him his own legs to stand on in his own universe without having to rely or lean so heavily on the Avengers connection so much.
You know, one of the things I've really enjoyed about these Marvel movies recently, more so I think, is that even though I know they're all leading to another story, the story I'm watching doesn't have that sort of feel to it. You know, it doesn't feel like this is just the beginning of something else, or this is just because that's where these things are. Like, so far, this
they stand on their own two legs.
Yeah, they
sure.
just stand on their own two legs. Whereas, like, The Mummy, I went and saw The Mummy, and it was okay. It was a good movie, but it had that feel that it was just a filler. It was just sort of starting up. It was. Is someone popping popcorn? The
sounds like
no,
a chair.
I'm sorry. That's my chair. I think my chair is creaking. Oh. I leaned in
okay.
it. Sorry.
But yeah, but that, and even down to the Supermans, the Superman versus Batman, you know, Wonder Woman, even to a degree, had
everything's
that
trying to
origin.
Build a universe.
They're all trying to build this universe, and it's very apparent.
Yeah.
But with Marvel, it's not. It's not. I mean, we know it's going somewhere else, but it has its own stand. Wonder Woman actually is an exception, I think. Although we knew there was more coming to it, it was a standalone, and it did very, very well on its own.
Yeah, it
but,
was a good story
know,
about here's a time in my career that we flash back to, even though it starts
right.
and ends. The bookends are, you know what's happening. I'm talking to Bruce Wayne.
Yeah.
It's,
right.
What's
yeah,
the,
and the, and let's all agree, the probably the best part of the Batman versus Superman was where Wonder Woman appeared.
Yes.
Yes.
And she drops in. You hear the da-da-da-da in the music, and she takes the blast right before. I'm just going to call him Dumb Batman. Is sitting in there, and he's like, "Oh shit!" Like Batman wouldn't have been prepared to do something like he's going to get trapped in the Batmobile.
All right,
I mean.
So
yeah.
we keep bleeding it to DC, but
I know.
For
all
Spider-Man
right, so
Homecoming,
going,
all right,
yeah,
Senators, yay or nay?
Yeah. Yes.
Tom Holland
oh,
is Spider-Man.
So much yay.
So, yeah, yay. Definitely
and,
thumbs
okay,
up here.
Three yays for Tom Holland as Spider-Man. Okay, villain.
And one
casting,
yay!
Casting and effectiveness on screen. Michael Keaton as the Vulture, yay or nay?
It's so yay.
Yay.
I mean, Marvel just have been nailing this. I mean, I don't, honestly, I cannot think of
they know how to
casting.
Cast a character. They
yeah,
know how to cast
think.
A character.
Yeah, I mean, you look at it. I mean, even going back to them taking a chance with, you know, Robert Downey Jr.
Yeah.
They took a chance. He was on a comeback. Look,
yeah.
Can you even imagine him being anybody?
He only
else?
Had a couple of movies under his belt on the comeback.
Right.
I mean, he had that Kiss Kiss Bang Bang. He had there was one other movie that he had done, and then they're like, let's give this guy a shot.
Yeah,
and he nailed it.
Absolutely. I mean, he. Yeah, I mean, he just nailed it. And, like, even Captain America. I can't... I don't even... I just forget that the Fantastic Four even happened just because...
Oh, yeah.
Captain
yeah.
America is...
He
Chris
is
Captain,
yeah.
America.
Captain America. All right, so Spider-Man Homecoming.
You know,
absolutely.
What about the plot, though? Because even... It's hard to say what the movie was about because it was about a couple of things, but what do we think about
right.
the plot? Yay or nay?
I enjoyed it.
So that's
I enjoyed it too. See, like, see, the thing is, like, I need to mull it over. I'm enjoying it, and I appreciate it for. This is
yeah.
my problem.
Yeah.
It's because I always come out of a movie on a high.
Yeah.
Well, not always, but
right.
a superhero movie where it was you got especially when
see,
you go to see
me,
it on the big screen, you're kind of jammed up with the music.
Spider-Man
so.
Homecoming for me was very much like Harry Potter and the Order of the Phoenix. Something big just happened before it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's more things coming up ahead. It's,
right.
It's a phrase. It's not a full sentence, but I enjoyed the hell out of this phrase.
Oh, yeah. Yes. Absolutely.
Well,
I'm definitely on board with that.
I do agree, except the only thing I would make mention is the fact that they did tie it all the way back to the Avengers. It was like they've taken steps
yes.
back. They've, you know, they've shown the historical element and hows and whys, and it's just so entwined now. They're just, and they're so very well entwined. It wasn't just some, and I could say this, like, so I mean, I'm a huge Doctor Who fan, you both know that. I'm not a huge Stephen Moffat fan.
I'm just learning of
and,
this now, right now.
And
I don't
and
know.
I know. I'll explain about Doctor Who to you later.
gig. But the thing with Stephen Moffat as a writer, he's a very good writer, but he has too many strings. And when you have too many strings, you don't know where you're going to take them. And ultimately, he ruins his characters by just giving them some sort of story, some sort of out, some sort of, and it ruins them. But with Marvel, they've got all these strings that they seem to be able to entwine, and it's so very well done. And mm-hmm. I honestly, there's really not, I mean, with the exception of maybe Thor 2, the Dark World, I think it was, I will watch all the other movies over and over and over and never get bored of them.
It reminded me of something.
It's a rich tapestry they've sewn for sure. And I mean, we're moving along with the whole bit, and the movies are rewatchable. Like Iron Man was on cable the other day, and I watched the whole thing as if it was the first time, and I enjoyed every second.
Yep.
Just real quick, you cool. reminded me of something in the movie, a little nugget of something. So we all seen the trailer where the Mjolnir, Thor's hammer, the Mjolnir gets smashed by was it Hera?
The
Norse god of the dead, Hela.
Yeah.
No, I can't remember. But anyway, she smashes the Mjolnir. Mm-hmm. In the movie, they refer to one of the things that they're and Happy can't pronounce it, and I cannot remember the name of it, but Thor's belt. So everybody was concerned about what is Thor's weapon and where's his power going to reside. Now we know Thor's belt is a thing that exists, so I'm going to assume that this is where his powers are going to reside.
I just love
Mjolnir. Here's another thing. Whilst we're talking about this stuff that he was packaging away, did he say another Hulkbuster, or did he say the
he
Hulk
did
suit?
Mention a Hulkbuster.
The Hulkbuster.
And he mentioned that.
Did he say Hulkbuster, or did he say Hulk suit?
Hulkbuster.
No, he said Hulkbuster.
Because it was an Iron Man suit that he needed packed away along with like all the other hero stuff.
Right. Because I was thinking, after that whole scene, kind of wait. Did he say he was building another Hulkbuster, or was there another Hulk? Was there a Hulk suit? Like, as in, does the Hulk have some sort of armor? Or, you know, I'm like, wait, what's going on here?
It's another Veronica, you know? Essentially. I get that was my takeaway.
Okay.
Oh my God, I cannot pronounce the name of his belt. No wonder. It is spelled Megingjord. And it translates to Old Norse power belt. It translates to power belt.
Old Norse power belt, activate now.
So there's apparently three things that Thor possesses. It's the Mjolnir, it's the Megingjord, I think. And then he's got iron gloves, which are I'm not even going to try that.
All right, he's got some stuff. Anyway, Thor's got some swag.
Thor's stuff. It's just Thor's stuff.
You go to IKEA. You go into aisle three. Yeah. That's where Thor gets his stuff.
So let's say one thing, I guess, before we kind of as we're wrapping it up.
Wrapping up, yeah.
So the post credit scene with because we didn't actually say what happens with Cap at the very end. Did you all see that?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think the thing that to sort of take away from that is patience.
Yep. Just
the
patience.
Importance of patience.
Yes, absolutely. I don't want to give it away, but definitely.
No.
It's a fun little scene. Be patient.
It was multi-layered because not a soul left the theater I was in. Everyone was glued to their seats waiting for that last scene. And when he comes on, it's like, you guys waited here for something that probably isn't worth waiting for.
Right.
But
yeah,
you're here.
So good.
And so it's A, so I can't say too much because it's Sony, but B, you were waiting for this, so I'm going to give it to you. And I know you want to hear about Infinity War, but patience. So like there was so much packed into those simple statements he gave.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, very good. But
before we wrap, and it's ironic to put something like this at the end, but Joan Lee, wife of Stan Lee, died.
Oh, yes, yes.
Age 93.
I heard about that while you all were seeing the movie, and I posted something up about it. But it was, man, that on the day that this release is kind of one of his biggest names.
It sucks because, honestly, personally, now I'm worried about Stan Lee because you kind of have that, like,
Man
in Black,
Carrie
his
Fisher
wife dies,
thing.
And then right after, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah,
like,
no, dude, I said exactly.
Carrie Fisher and her mom, you know, that was one of those broken heart scenarios, literally. And, you know, just I would hate to see this happen for him. I mean he's
I was thinking more he's Johnny, in his 90s Johnny Cash, as well. But it was it's a pretty much a hey, one is gone now. I mean, obviously he's got a lot to live for, but
yes. But he's still he's in his 90s though too. He's he's you know, they
he's
were together
94?
Yeah, they were together for what, 59 years? I mean, that right there, that's a love story right there. I mean, that's that's really I mean, I'm impressed. That'll never happen.
No, they
for
were
me.
They were married for 69 years. They were married.
Was
for.
It 69 years? Okay, I'm sorry. I thought it was 59 when I read earlier. But yeah, that was let's oh man, send some well wishes, positive energy his way to
so
you know
Stanley,
pull through this.
His family and for all the people who are our extended family and for everyone who Stanley has given such a rich universe to. And it's
because we talk about the Marvel universe, our endearing feelings for it.
Her goading because Stan wanted to leave Marvel, and she's like, "Look, before you go, just make something that you're really proud of," and that was Fantastic Four. So she was very much his muse. And without her, we wouldn't be, you know, talking right now about this universe that he created, because I think he would have thrown in the towel.
Yeah.
Right.
Most definitely.
So thanks, Joan Lee. We
we definitely thank
to you as much as to Stan. We owe a debt of geek nerdery. Robert, final thoughts?
Just a damn good movie. Go sit, enjoy it. Also. Yeah. Check your theaters to see if there's any free swag. I happened to find out that I got a free poster when I walked into mine. And it was a nice little print, and because they're selling that same print on Mondo right now as a 72-hour set, but that's a large poster. But go enjoy the movie. Have a blast. Check in with, you know, let us know what you think about it.
Yeah,
you know,
listeners,
absolutely.
Comment, let us know. And for those of you who want to get a little FaceTime with the Senators, with the Three Geek Senate, guys, we are going to be appearing at Mid-South Paranormal Convention July 21st, 22nd, and 23rd in Louisville, Kentucky. It's going to be myself, Rob, and Paul. We're going to be there. So if you enjoy what we do, we're going to be doing some of it live at Mid-South. So check that out. And we're going to be hanging out who knows where, but we'll be tweeting it. We'll be letting you know. So for those of you guys who are fans of the show, come on down.
Yeah, and those fans of the show, it would be really, really very cool of you if you could actually just show your support and actually sort of wear some of our swag.
Oh, yeah. Let's go ahead and say that real quick, just in case if you haven't seen that.
We have
T-shirts
right now,
up.
Absolutely. And you can actually you can go to it's www.netoshop, that's netoshop.com/artist/3-geek-senate, that's 3 as in the word 3, and then there you'll see actually several designs, but obviously you can just join our Facebook page and we'll be posting stuff about that all the time.
Click also it. I've got the I got the button on there now. I actually added a button to our Facebook page. You just click it. It'll take you straight to the shop.
Click it, order it, wear
designs.
It.
Yeah.
Hey,
send us a picture of you wearing it.
Absolutely.
And if we see you out at a convention wearing one of our shirts, who knows? Something special might happen. So
something magical.
You never know.
Absolutely.
Well, now,
guys.
Never say never.
You've
got to figure something
out. Yeah, never say never.
Wow. Never say never. But, you know.
And with that, this session of the Three Geek Senate comes to a close, web slingers and true believers. For more geek nerdery, make sure you search for Three Geek Senate on iTunes or your favorite podcast app.
Or you can follow us on social media. Simply follow at Three Geek Senate. That's the number, Three Geek Senate, whether it's your Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram.
And we need you to go to iTunes and please subscribe. It's free. We need you to give us a review, 5 stars if you could, and share with your friends and let us know what you think.
Once again, my name is Brian J. Cano.
My name is Paul Bradford.
And I'm Robert Buxar.
And we'll see you next time on the Senate Room Floor. Good night, everybody.